Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I was going to say the old man of the group, but that's uncalled for. Arnold Tarpley in the house.
Well, if it's honest, it's honest.
I was trying to pull out the Jamie Kyle, the old sage, the old timer, but the only thing that came to mind was old man.
The historian.
Historian, the NASCAR historian. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show lined up for you today. That's what we're going to tell everybody. See if we'll take votes on our Twitter at the end of the show. See if that's actually true. Jamie's not in the building today. He's not going to be with us this week. I think he's celebrating an anniversary this week. So congratulations to Jamie.
Mr. Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Kyle. He'll be back better than ever next week. Gentlemen, we had a great race this weekend, or at least an okay race, or attempt to try to see something different. But Joey Logano goes out and wins at Michigan this past week, Arnold.
Yeah, put on a good performance. It was interesting watching some of the cars doing some tiptoeing around there, particularly early on, because they really didn't know what they had going into that race. They, you know, had good speed and everything, and what the amazing thing was going in turn one at 215 miles an hour.
You know, I tweeted that out, Jason. That was, you're talking about scary. You're talking about a small. They took an inch off the front,
or 2 inches off.
Two off the front, one on the back. And those guys doing 215 miles an hour diving into that corner. That's a little hairy.
Yeah, and you know, one of the quotes I saw about, you know, from Logano about what the actual racing was, he said this could be a recipe for disaster out there, you know. But you know, he did what he had to do to go out and win. Got good restarts. I don't think the racing was great out there that we saw. It's not the best that we've seen. But, you know, NASCAR was trying to do something a little different out there. And with those speeds, you really didn't know what you were going to get out of that track.
You had speeds dropping from 215 to around 175 in the middle of the turns. That's a big drop-off right there.
Yeah, anytime you're going around a turn, you're dropping 40 miles an hour. It made for some – and they talked a little bit about this in the broadcast. You know, there was some passing going on in some strange places and different spots on the track. You know, a lot of time, if you were able to keep up a little momentum in the turns, you were able to make some passes on the straightaways, which is kind of uncommon there at Michigan.
Yeah. One of the interesting things I heard was the fact that Xfinity Series actually had a higher – average speed than Sprint Cups did. So, you know, is that a function of yellow flags or not enough spoiler and they're just tiptoeing around a little bit?
Yeah, there could be a little. That could be not a lot of spoiler. I was tiptoeing a little bit around a little bit more than what the Xfinity drivers were.
So that was an interesting quirk about that race, was that difference in speed, because you know the Sprint Cup cars was actually running a lot faster.
Logano seems to be on a little bit. It seems like, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about him so far this season. He's, you know, since that Martinsville incident last year, you know, the team has kind of lost a little momentum, a little mojo. But the last couple weeks, you know, coming off an all-star win, had some good runs the last couple weeks, then finally winning at Michigan. Has this team really started to pick up the pace as the summer has started to heat it up?
I think so. And you look at the team itself, Scott. You look at I think Keselowski and Logano are really running well at this point in time. They're actually kind of wondering if the race would have gone longer if Keselowski could have caught him, because, you know, he was out there running so well, making really good fast laps. But you look at that team and you also look at the Gibbs team. All cars associated with those teams are in.
Yeah,
so they're all winners this year. It's very impressive, and I really think Logano has made that turn since that All-Star race. I think he had one bad race after the All-Star race. I think it was the next week he had a bad race or something.
Right, qualified well at Charlotte, and then just really didn't perform well, especially once the sun went down. But, you know, a very strong, had a good run at Pocono, and then he follows that up with a terrific run at Michigan.
Well, those two cars, in my opinion, are going to be contenders every week for the simple reason that they qualify so well. They get out front. You know, they're not, and he said on the poll this week in Michigan, you know, they get out front. They're not, you know, bungled up in position 25, 26, 27, where things
like,
can
like
happen.
Somebody, yeah, we may yeah, mention like, somebody else a little bit so, later in the show that's in that position.
But those guys take care of business when they have to, and, you know, that's part of it. Getting off the trailer, getting out there, getting a good starting position, your pick of pit stall, you know, there's a lot of things that get involved with that, and I think it's really underrated as far as how good you qualify. But those guys are doing a great job over Penske.
The other thing is that they're performing well during the race, making the right decisions, mm-hmm. and even when they make a mistake, they recover from it. They figure out a way to work around that mistake and get their track position back and get back up front and, you know, contend for the wins. And that's the mark of championship type teams, and both of them doing that. And you got to remember, Michigan is big for them because Penske was associated with that track from its inception. So that was a big win for
right. And that's one of the things as a fan growing up in that area, you know, that was one, you know, Roger Penske has a tremendous influence. You know, he's responsible for the IndyCar races that are at Belle Isle that run right at directly the duels that they run right after Indianapolis. So Penske has a big not following, but it's a big part of what it does. Obviously, the U.S. manufacturers, Chevy and Ford, mm-hmm. with Detroit being right in the backyard of that track, it's important for those teams. And if you look at the you know, the top five, we see a Ford, two Chevys, a Ford, and a Chevy. So you understand, and I think there's an importance there that these teams really want to. Everybody wants to win every week, but there are certain tracks where you have some importance, and I think obviously the Ford team, especially the Penske cars, have really kind of picked up their game.
Yeah, there's two places that are important to Penske and them, of course, is Michigan, but it's important to all of them to win well and win at Charlotte because that's the home track for where most of the teams are located. But you look at it, you know, you expect the home tracks to be ones that you want to perform well at. Clint Bowyer goes to Kansas. You know, he wants to win Kansas and perform well there. It's true of all of them.
Isn't it funny, though, how that works where at what's considered home tracks or tracks that maybe has an importance to a team, how much better it seems like it kind of, you know, we think of home court advantage in stick and ball sports and football and baseball mm-hmm. and basketball where home field, you know, makes a difference. I mean, it literally makes a difference in how you go out there and play. We don't think it as much in racing, but we do kind of see tracks where people, you know, Hamlin at Richmond and Martinsville and that area, you know, those guys tends to happen, swell up in them, pride, whatever it is, that they go out and kind of perform at those tracks.
Yeah, and I look at, you know, I'm really thinking about Logano right now. I'm really just impressed. And going back to kind of the point where they're at right now, Scott and Arnold, I think that right now, if I had to say right now going into Chase, I would say that those two would be two of the top three contenders, in my opinion, at this point in time.
We've seen consistency the last few weeks where those cars seem to be the faster cars. And I think you made a great point earlier, Jason, when you talked about qualifying. Those two jokers are always up front when it turns of qualifying week in and week out.
Yeah, and I look at that 88 team. They can't even finish a race because guess what? They're starting back there, and they get and there's always something going on there. But I'll save that for later, you know.
it's a Jason rant coming.
But really, I mean, you look at those two teams, and you know, I know we talked about it earlier this year. I know we've talked about it multiple times week to week about who would be contending for championships, who would be this, and you know, Kyle Busch was probably the prohibitive favorite before the season started, but really he's took a turn for the worse right now. And I look at those two, the 2 and the 22, and I can't tell you anybody out there that's running any better in the past few weeks.
You know, and I'm going to bring up something kind of off on a little bit of a tangent right here. Do you realize the average age of the top three drivers was 23 years old mm-hmm. for this race? And that's the first time that's happened since 1951.
It's great. Before we jump into that, because that's going to be my next point, let's hear from Joey Logano, courtesy of Fox Sports.
Joey, so many unanswered questions coming into this day with this new setup, the new package, the different tire. How did you adapt to it so quickly and dominate the way you did?
Yeah, it's Team Penske, great race car. Everyone did a great job, like I said, after qualifying. Everyone did a great job understanding what this package was going to do and put together a great race car. For me, it was a lot of fun racing with Chase there, Deanne, and Larson. They had the restarts figured out down there in the bottom pushing each other, but I still felt like I had to take the top. But I wasn't excited about seeing all those cautions, but what a great finish. I got to thank Shell, Pennzoil, obviously everyone else that helps us, AutoZone, Auto Trader, Wheels Up, Ford, this is in their backyard, Roger's backyard. This is the great place to win.
That's Joey Logano with his with the now traditional Carl Edwards
imitation.
That was close.
It was close. I mean, he did a pretty good job of rattling those off at the end. But congratulations to Joey Logano and his team. They seem to be red hot. A couple other guys that have been kind of that have been pretty impressive the last 2 weeks. And Jason, I'll throw this to you first. The 24 and the 42 car. You know, we've talked about the rookie of the year battle has been a big heat, and Chase has really kind of elevated his game the last couple of weeks. Kyle Larson, they've started building their own cars, and it all of a sudden when they started doing that, all of a sudden there started to be a little more speed in that car in the last several weeks. He's been right up there. Just your impressions on those two young guys.
And, you know, I look at Chase, and you know, he's been really, really consistent as far as the Hendrick cars go. You look at Jimmy Johnson, of course, he's got wins out there this year, but I look at Chase, and right now he's the number two driver. Actually more consistent than Johnson at this point, but he doesn't have the wins to back that up. You know, I would have liked to have seen last week if he wasn't trying to conserve some fuel and had that in the back of his mind, if he could have caught Logano before a yellow flag came out and may have gone in first, restarted first, whatnot. But Larson, I really thought he, when you look at him this year, I he really showed me something in that qualifying race in the All-Star race to get in. And I really thought he was hot at that time. And he's been nothing but spectacular, short of spectacular, in the past few weeks since that All-Star race. I think he looks really good. Those two guys are going to make some noise.
Yeah. What can you say? Well, it's the youth movement. Joey Logano's 26, and we're thinking of him as an old man.
Well, it's because he's been around for 18 years old when he was in those Gibbs cars.
But he's still 26 years old. Chase Elliott is, what, 20, and Kyle Larson's 23. I mean, We're looking at young drivers performing very well, and the big question is going to be, when are they going to break through and start winning? I heard the question this week of when is the younger under 30 crowd going to start winning more races than the over 30 crowd? And, you know, you look at what Joey's doing, Chase is doing, Kyle is doing. It may be sooner, and Austin Dillon as well, as far as that's concerned. It might be sooner than you might expect.
That's been one of the things that have kind of jumped out to me is, obviously this is one of the best rookie classes or I think group of rookies over the course of the last couple of years, and we've seen in a long time. It takes a while to kind of win at this level because you've got a lot of experience out there. Equipment is different based upon who you're racing for, and the upper echelon guys are with the upper echelon team, so you kind of see a disparity of wins. But you can see these guys starting to nibble, starting to start to close the gap between the Gibbs cars. Some of those top Stuart Haas teams. You're starting to see these guys compete week in and week out. And once that I always think about how when I watch, like, you know, I grew up in Detroit, so I watched the old Bad Boys Pistons teams. Well, yeah, they won a couple titles, but I watched them each year just get a little bit better and get a little bit better and get a little bit better until they reach that pinnacle. And I think we're seeing that same kind of evolution with this group of young drivers. They're starting to get more confidence. Obviously, Chase Elliott's his learning curve is much higher than a lot of other people, but we're starting to see these young guys be more competitive week in and week out, and it's only going to help the sport moving forward.
And don't discount the, you know, you look at Chase Elliott. His crew chief's been there for a while. Alan Gustafson knows what he's doing out there. So he's working with a veteran crew chief here, and I think that's only helping him grow into that role and filling in that Jeff Gordon role of the 24. I mean, I think he's doing a phenomenal job, guys. It's just my opinion.
Yeah. Back when Jeff Gordon first came in, everybody was watching Wonder Boy, as Dale Sr. called him. And I turned my wife early in the second, I guess Charlotte of the second season, and I turned to my wife and I told her, so you watch him, he's the next big star, he's going to be the big one. Right now I'm seeing the same signs out of Chase Elliott that he might be the next big star to really take.
And how funny
forward.
Is it, the two names you just talked about, one was driving that car last year, one's driving it this year. Same crew chief. You know, the guy just stepped right in, and we saw some. We obviously we knew the guy could drive, and he's.
Yeah.
They've had organizationally, they've been struggling with speed, but as the years progress, they've got a little better. I got something else I'll hit on there a little bit later. Just real quick before we got to take a break here, I want to get your impressions on the new downforce package for Michigan this past week, and then they immediately jumped in a car and truck and drove to Kentucky and tested for 2 days down there. Your impressions on the new downforce package?
You know, I'm not real sure on it. I mean, cars are sliding around everywhere on the track.
Yeah.
I think it could be good. I think that NASCAR needs a little bit more of this to understand if they could do that, change package to track and things like that. I mean, I think it's going to take some time, but I think it's a good idea.
The question, and I told you this question before we went on the air, was at what point do they go too far taking spoilers away? I think at Michigan, we may have seen a situation where they may have took a little bit too much away because of the speeds that they're running. Kentucky's going to be a whole lot different matter because not only do you have that smaller package running there, you've also got new paving, and they've changed the banking
and
on
a smaller track
too. In a smaller track.
But you're saying, right. they picked the wrong track to take that much off.
Very possibly.
Potentially, yes.
Potentially. See, now last year they had the high drag package at Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they've gone from one extreme to the
other. I
was going to
say, that's going from... And before we go to break, I do want to ask you both this question. Do you think it's a smart idea for NASCAR? The trend to me seems to be like we're creating packages for tracks, similar type tracks. We're trying to get a level of racing at all tracks to be kind of, I think what they're trying to do is trying to make things, the racing similar and not be as track dependent upon what's going on. So do you think the idea of NASCAR implementing packages for tracks is a good thing, or should it go back to we're running, this is the 2016 package, this is what we're going to run, throw it out there, run it, and then, I mean, obviously super speedways are different, but there's a difference between we're changing for every type of track, or are we should just have one package and you have to adjust the car to make it work depending upon where you're at.
You know, I think it's going to take time to figure it out, you know, if that's the way, the route that they go. But I think it's a good idea. I really do. Instead of seeing just the same old type racing week in and week out, I think you add another little bit of variable to the mix. And I think it could be fun.
It can be fun. The biggest thing that I see is that maybe they need to have maybe two or three packages. Have one package for the majority of the tracks, mile and a half or less. You can run the same package on all of them without any trouble. Then you may have to adjust it just a little bit for the two-mile tracks, and then you have your super speedway package. Mm-hmm. You basically got three packages.
Well, you could have four with a short track.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But you like limit it. That the number of packages you have, but you tailor them a little bit to the track where you get good racing. And one of the most important parts of this is they're trying to get cars where they can pull up on the other car, pull out, and pass. That's been the biggest drawback.
We've seen a lot of. I think we've seen some of that this year. We've just not seen much of it up front, as people would hope to see.
Just like I was watching late in the race last week, guys, and they said, "Hey, the biggest battle on the track's back here for the 17th position." I was like, you know, and they were just working it, you know, 15th, 16th, 17th, you know. But I think it could be good for NASCAR to do that.
Okay. Well, that was our race recap sponsored by Dale's Heating and Air. When we come back from this short commercial break, we're going to get into, got some penalties handed out today. Going to ask you guys a question if the Toyotas have finally been caught by some of these other race teams. And Tony Stewart's been a little more racy. We'll get your thoughts on that and more. You're listening to The Finish Line powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239.
What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Home. Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239.
Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage, here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Turpley with you for about another half hour or so, lest we get chatty in here.
You never know.
You never know. I don't think we're getting chatty tonight. I miss our.
Don't blow his head up.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not even going to finish that stage. Yeah. I'm not even going to finish it.
Hey, he's a controversy starter.
He is a controversy starter. Usually his opinions are totally wrong, and
yes,
I can't wait.
Yes,
to,
they are.
And I can't wait to hear his power rankings coming up here in just a few minutes. They're going to be precious.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Well, gentlemen, we got another weekend, another round of penalties for some drivers, and the 42 car in back-to-back weeks now has got another penalty and is. And his back, what I guess is, it's, you know, his backup crew chief is filling in for the guy that got suspended last week, gets fined and suspended this week.
Yeah, that's not good when your backup gets fined $25,000 and then you get Doc 15 championship driver points and owner points. That's that's not good at all.
That's going to be a tough pill to swallow, and it's going to be interesting because not only they got failed some stuff, and several others failed some stuff too. But you'd think that they'd have all those measurements down pat and not have that issue. But we're hearing
stuff
about it every week. Somebody's failing those tests.
It does surprise me how often some, you know, you got a team like Elliott Sadler. They, you know, they lost they've not only received written warnings and stuff. Now he lost his pit selection, so it didn't matter where he qualified. I mean, you know, the ability to pick up a pit stall for last week. We understand these guys are always pushing the envelope, but it seems like, you know, when this sport has become some, in the past maybe you could get away with it, you know, when they're just putting that little, these things are laser templated now. So I mean, it's very technical, but it seems like week in and week out we see in traditional racing tradition, everybody pushing the envelope as far as they can.
Yeah. What was it about? Looks like, what, about five or six had some kind of penalty or warning from failing the laser test.
Jeffrey Earnhardt, Brian Scott, Martin Truex Jr., Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, other teams failing template inspection twice before qualifying, and Tony Stewart, Stenhouse, Chase Elliott, Chris Buescher, Kurt Busch, Allmendinger, Cole Whitt, and Truex. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, but if you're not cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, apparently so.
That's absolutely true in this sport. Last couple weeks, we've seen some speed out of the 14 car. qualified well the last few weeks, been fairly racy. Can he find a way to make the chase? I know we've talked about Tony Stewart in the past, but we're starting to see a much more improved team. And, you know, this is the type of year we see Tony Stewart has had some wins in some of these tracks that are coming up. Can he find a way to convert that speed into putting himself in victory lane and potentially in the chase?
I think he can get the win. And one of the big things about Michigan was the fact that they had low downforce, and he had to be able to handle the car. And Tony is a master at handling an ill-handling car, without a doubt. So that played into his favor right there. I think he can win a race yet this summer. My big question about him is, can he get enough points to get himself in the top 30?
They've had a couple bad runs this year where they've had some DNFs, and that, you know, he is at that point in time where, unlike Kyle Busch at this point last year when Busch got back into this, you know, Busch rattled off some wins.
He was on a run.
He was on a run and got on a run in a hurry, and you knew he was going to make up points in a hurry.
Yeah.
Stewart is not come out of the gate that fast and has more ground to make up.
Yeah, and that's my biggest question on him is, can he make up the points? I know he could win a race. Mm-hmm. Can he make up the points?
I'm with you on that. I think it's just the point. I think the point thing is the issue, getting inside that top 30. Because last year, I mean, Kyle was fighting and finally got in there. And it wasn't, you know, he didn't have too many races to get in there. So I don't think he'll get in, but I could see him winning a race.
You know, last year when Kyle was running and trying to get the points totals up, you know, that's one of the things I said, you know, he needs to – he had a race where he was into the top 30 – and went for a little bit more than the car was really able to, and he wound up being back out of the top 30, and I'm sitting there going, man, you got to get in that top 30. It's not just winning the races.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll see. I have been impressed. I mean, finished seventh this past week. We qualified third, so we know that there's been speed in the car. But my concern has just been the consistency part. Can he find a way to race up there up front all the time? We see guys every week qualify well. They drop the green flag, and next thing you know, those guys are running 12th to 15th. Can he find a way to translate that speed into not only qualifying speed, but consistency on the track? They were racy last week, and he's going to give himself a chance. Now, when I looked at the top, looking at it right now, the top 11 from last week, one Toyota, Carl Edwards, finished sixth. We spent a lot of time this year talking about the speed and all the wins that the Toyota cars were piling up at the beginning of the year. And now, at this point last year, the Toyotas were struggling. We get to Kentucky last year, and next they take off. They start winning all the time. Have the rest of the teams finally started to figure out or catch up on those Toyotas?
I definitely think you've seen a shift in the performance on the track. Like I said, you know, I look at and I think right now the best team out there is the Penske Fords. I look at those guys, and they're really lighting it up. But I'm not seeing that speed out there from the Gibbs cars. And you know, Truex, he led some laps this weekend. But I don't see I think the Toyotas have lost somewhat of an edge because they were dominant starting off. I mean, those guys, you could chalk up one of them's going to win every single week the first of the season, and now I don't look at it.
Hey, there was about a 4 or 5 week stretch where I didn't pick nothing but a Toyota.
Right.
I mean, it was like, yeah, pick one of those Gibbs car out of a hat. That's my guy. I'm going with it. And they were going to finish in the top 10. Now there's struggle. Obviously, some of what's happened with Kyle Busch is not just, you know, engine problems or people, you know, he had a spectacular blow up. You just don't see these cars blow up much anymore. But he had a spectacular blow up this past weekend. But it does seem to me, Arnold, that the teams, you know, Alex Bowman talked about this on our show a couple weeks ago, right before the All-Star break. You know, they were going to tweak some things, and people were doing some things a little differently with the fans and things like that. Maybe some of that is kind of caught up to the rest of them. But it does seem since the All-Star race, we've seen, obviously those guys are good drivers. Obviously they're in good equipment. Obviously they can still win races. But we don't see six Toyotas at the front like we seemed like we saw there for a while.
I think you got a combination of the other teams figuring some stuff out, improving their stuff, catching up a little bit. And I think you're seeing some signs of the fact that NASCAR may have reeled them back in by taking those high-velocity fans out of those cars. And that was something that even the team owners asked them to do, was to outlaw those fans, because they're spending so much money developing that process. So I think you're seeing the situation there where the Toyotas were so dependent on that, they got them taken away, and now they've got to regroup and come back. We know they still got speed. We know they still got power. That was the first Toyota engine blow up for Kyle Busch in like 4 years. So, you know,
and it was a good one.
Yeah, he made it worthwhile.
It wasn't quite as spectacular as Jeffrey Earnhardt burning up the track, literally, but it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, Jeffrey kind of lit the whole front straight up there with his.
He hit the wall twice in about 8 minutes, and that last one was
detrimental, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terminal.
But guys, look at the top there. You got 8 Chevrolets out of the top 12. That's pretty impressive, and you know, 9 out of the top 13, with 2 Fords sprinkled in there and 2 Toyotas. So you Chevy know, looks like they're doing a little bit better.
You know, one of the most impressive things about what you just said right there was, there's in years past, I never would have picked a Chevy to even be in the top 10 at that track.
No.
You know, it was going to be Ford. or maybe a Chrysler, but it most likely is going to be a Ford.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. The Fords, that's a track that has been a traditional Ford track. And a lot of times we deal with a lot of mileage and things, you know, and gas mileage races when it comes to that track. And again, you know, it's just been, we see this in certain tracks, certain brands, certain packages works better for certain teams.
I mean, heck, Biffle can't win anywhere. He's got like 3 or 4.
Oh yeah, I mean, he used to dominate that track. I mean, when that car, when they got there, that whole team, especially him, had great runs there.
Well, you know, you listened to the broadcast early on the broadcast. Darrell Waltrip even mentioned the fact that the Ford engine, upper end was much better suited to that speed of a track, whereas the Chevrolet was more powerful and more nimble on the shorter tracks and quicker to pull out the curves. So back in the day, that's why you always picked a Ford to win that race.
Well, and it had been a good pick this week. I picked the wrong one. I didn't put enough. I didn't put enough twos down on my sheet this past week.
I think me and you both went with two.
Yeah, we both went with two. We'd have had 10 more laps, we both would have been right.
Does that count that we had two right there on the bottom?
I don't know. You better ask Jamie about that. He's the rules maker.
Yeah, we got part of it.
Oh no, we're not getting into power ranking rules. Yeah, we're not getting into any of that. I tell you what, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to come back. We'll look at the Chase grid. Going to get these guys' thoughts on who that's currently in the chase may get a win. I've got some names on the sheet there. They can take a look at those. And we'll give you our chase grid and power rankings as the big boys have an off week this week. But we'll turn our attention to Iowa Speedway. Some good racing going on out there this week. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on Talk 101.3.
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239.
Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley with you for about another 15 minutes or so. Thanks for joining us today. Off week for the big boys. I was listening to MRN right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz this past week during the race. I was out getting a little exercise in, listening to the race. And Blaney and Chase Elliott are off to Costa Rica this week. Going to do a little. Your biggest competitor. You're going to go on vacation with him. Rookie of the year.
Share some ideas.
Who knows? They was helping themselves, helping each other out at Michigan there on the restarts. Yeah. So.
When is we've seen, and this is not on the sheet, so I'm just throwing this out there. We've seen Chase Elliott really ramp up his level of competition. Is it because it's they're part of a bigger organization. The Wood Brothers are their own entity. We've seen Blaney. We've kind of seen ebbs and flow from Blaney this year. Is part of that not being with another team, not being part of that? Just this is the first time they've run a full season in several years. What could possibly be the difference? Not that Blaney is having a bad year whatsoever. It just seems like he's not quite been at the level of Chase Elliott.
I think it'd be a combination of, just my opinion, I think it's equipment and crew chief. Yeah. Gustafson's been around. He's got Hendrick equipment, and I think that's what I attribute it to.
That's probably the biggest part of it. But I'm going to throw something else out there, too. I think the tutelage of his father, mm-hmm. Bill Elliott. I think that's probably a whole nother level right there that we really don't really pay much attention to.
Well, that's better tutelage than the 88's got from his dad. I'll tell you that.
But it's one of those things where he's following in the footsteps mm-hmm. of his father very well, and he's been trained. I mean, Bill has been with him every step of the way, showing him how, telling him how. But then at the same time, he's stepping back and letting him be his own racer and everything. But the most important thing, I think, is you heard how critical he was of himself after he got out.
He's very critical of himself.
So that determination to be perfect is going to be
It's going to pay off. It's going to benefit him in the long run. In the short run, sometimes he gets down on himself a little too much. But that he will push himself. I do agree with that.
Probably a whole lot more than a lot of other sons of drivers that we know of.
Well, I tell you what. Let me tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and cue the music here. I'm multitasking today, boys. Chase Grid brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. I'm going to throw it over to Scott Webb. Thanks, Scott. Kevin Harvick still sits on top of the Chase standings. He has a 30-point lead over Kurt Busch. Brad Keselowski is second. Carl Edwards third. Joey Logano moves up three spots to fifth. Chase Elliott, that man we've been talking about, he is up to sixth. Jimmy Johnson is seventh. Martin Truex Jr. eighth. Kyle Busch all the way down to ninth. Four spots been a struggle for Kyle the last couple weeks. Matt Kenseth 10th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 11th, Austin Dillon 12th, Denny Hamlin 13th, Jamie McMurray 14th, Ryan Newman 15th, and rounding out your current chase standings, Ryan Blaney has a 9-point lead over Kasey Kahne. And don't forget, 15 points were docked to Kyle Larson. That kicked him all the way down to the 21st position. So he's got a little bit of ground to make up. That's your Chase Grid, brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. And the reason I wanted to read that first is of the 16 guys currently in the chase, these are the guys that do not have a win. Chase Elliott does not have a win. Junior, Austin Dillon, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, Blaney, and I threw Larson in there too because he's running so well. And I'm just going to throw this question out to you guys. Which one in that group earns a spot with a win and gets himself into the chase?
I see a couple potential winners there. You know, the first one to pop up because he's been running so good is Elliott. I think Chase Elliott has a great chance. But don't count out Jamie McMurray. He's good for a couple of times a year to go out there and lead a lot of laps. We've seen him win Talladega before. Don't count out the one car.
Oh, I'm like you. You almost have to say Elliott right off the top of your head because he's just been so solid. I'm going to go over there and jump on Larson.
There you go.
He's run strong. He's shown quite a bit this year. I think it's very possible for him to get a win very soon.
What do you think, Scott?
Well, I think that if I had to pick one, obviously I think Elliott is because of the way he's run the last couple weeks.
Yes.
And that car has been up front. And we know that we're going to turn around and hit these tracks again in the not-too-distant future. I think those two kind of tend to lean me towards Elliott. I do like what Larson's been doing the last few weeks. You know, they went to building their own stuff, you know, about a month ago or so, and since then we've seen that team kind of take an uptick. And can they find a way to put that in victory lane? Well, you keep running up front enough, you're going to find yourself in there. I guess of that group, the one that's most surprising, and I'll give Jason a chance to rant just a minute, but nobody here talked, even mentioned Junior. That team is really, although they had a second place finish at Pocono, you know, Junior thought he had a top 10 car, but they were running back in the 20s when the accident happened.
All right. And the reason why I'm looking at Junior, okay, and saying really, I'm not big on him at this point. Like I said, he gets off the trailer, qualifies bad, runs in the back of the pack, runs in the middle of the pack. Things are going to happen. He's been wrecked. I don't know how many times. A lot of it's self-inflicted. There's just been problems around that team. I don't see that team. There's nothing that tells me that team is going to get out there and win a race. When I look at the upcoming schedule before you go to Chicago, Sonoma, no way. Ain't going to happen. Daytona. Anybody can win Daytona. Right place, right time. All right? Kentucky, New Hampshire, Indy. Pocono's coming up again. But Watkins Glen, Bristol. He hasn't performed very well at Bristol as of late. Michigan again. Darlington, Richmond. I don't see a track where he's great at.
No.
I just don't. And that's Daytona's the best shot, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
He wrecked, and at Talladega, he wrecked the best car he had. You know, I mean, that car's gone.
You look at that list of tracks, Daytona is his best track in that group. Now, he runs well at Pocono. He runs well at Michigan. But Daytona is his best shot at winning one. And right now, the way the team as a whole is performing, I just don't think they can get it done.
I say Keselowski sweeps Pocono.
Very, very possible.
That's my opinion. I just don't see it out of the 88. I don't know what's going on over there. And you said that they've got some issues. They've got something going on there. I just don't see it. It's not very good. It's not a very good product they're putting out on the track at this point.
Right now, I'd say they're the third place team in Hendrick.
Without a doubt.
You know,
without a doubt.
Last year, there's no doubt that they was either. There's probably one and a half. They was right there. Jimmy Johnson and they was right there together. The entire season, it's hard to say one was number one and one was number two. But this year, It's Chase Elliott, Jimmie Johnson, Dale Earnhardt.
Do you think the 88 crew is sitting over the corner and going, God, I'm glad the five is in the building, too?
Like Atlanta fans, thank God for Cleveland. Right. You know, I mean, yeah. Ohio.
Yeah, man, I'm glad Casey Kane's on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of the attention away there. But you look at it, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that the 88 would be sitting third best out of that team. Neither did I figure at this point in time the 48 would be sitting second best. Even though he has two victories, he's second best in that garage.
Right
in
now,
that
he
team.
Is for sure.
Without a doubt, with 11 top 10s by Elliott. Only two other drivers have more top 10s than Elliott, and that being Kevin Harvick with 12 and Kurt Busch with 13. So, you know, I just don't see anything out there that just shines a light to me that says that the 88 will win a race this year.
I don't disagree. I tell you what, we're going to take our final break. If I can cue up a little music here, maybe if I hit the right button. When we come back, we're going to give you our power rankings. We're going to sit down here and brainstorm Jamie Kyle's power rankings. So
I got a good one for him to throw
in
there.
He'd probably have
the 88 in there anyways.
Yeah, well, we're going to take turns on that. So we're going to have our power rankings and wrap this thing up. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on Talk 101.3.
The Buzz.
NMLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
NMLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Sky Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley. We wrap things up. We've had a spirited discussion about Jamie Kyle's power ranking this week.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
It is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, you want to get the power rating powwow off?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start it off, guys. I'm going with my power rankings. I'm going to keep Kevin Harvick in the first position. I moved Brad Keselowski to the number two position. I think he's running very, very well at this time. Kyle, I dropped him down just for some of the recent issues he's had, burning up the track out there this past week. 41, a Kurt Busch. Got him in the fourth position. And you know, I wanted to put Chase higher, but without a victory, I couldn't justify that. So I'm just going to leave him at number five this week again.
Yeah. Well, I did shook mine up quite a bit from what I have had.
I was gonna say something. That's a shake-up.
Yeah. I mean, I got to looking at some of those numbers, and I'm sitting there going, man, some of this stuff has to move around. I'm keeping Kevin Harvick number one. He's just a pure solid contender week in and week out. I moved to 41 into the second. Kurt has really been strong this year. He don't have but one win. He don't have a lot of top fives, but he's always been there just
13
about every
top
race.
Tens.
Yes. I moved 22 of Joey Logano into third. You know, he's won a race. He's run strong all season, got some good finishes. I kept Chase in at 24 because at the fourth place because he's just been solid all season long. And I dropped Carl Edwards down to 19, or down to 5th in his 19 car. And, you know, I dropped Kyle Busch out. Now, I thought real hard about that, and I said, go, 3 DNFs.
Guy, 3 DNFs, he also has 3 W's. Wins.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
The 3 W's the only reason he's keeping in mind. Yeah.
So, it's a tough one right there, but, you know.
At this point, though, who's better, and that's what you're saying. He's not one of the top 5 drivers.
I haven't had 88 in my top 5 in a good little bit for that same reason. 18, I'm dropping out. Even though he's got 3 wins, he's not performing.
I'm looking at this list. The 48, nobody's mentioned the 48. You know, Mr. Six Time, nobody's mentioned him. You know, you got guys like Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, all guys with wins that are just kind of, they're not showing up on anybody's power rankings. Kind of just been blah the last month or so.
Yeah,
my power rankings is I got Brett Keselowski at the top. I like the guy could have he doesn't have a penalty at Pocono. He wins that race. If they run 10 more laps this past week, he's probably going to win that race. Or if he has one more restart, he's going to have an opportunity to win that race. They've been on fire. Harvick, I think Jason said it. Just whether or not he's winning or not, every time they show up, that guy's in the top 5. And you just got to tip your hat. We'd like to see the guy win a few more. We've kind of gotten into this rut the last couple of years where we win early in the year, run and finish a bunch of top fives, but don't have a lot of wins. You got to win down the stretch, and we'll see if he can get that turnaround. I had to leave. Carl Edwards has been probably the most consistent of the Gibbs cars the last 5 to 6 weeks. I left him at number 3. Chase Elliott cracks my list this week. The guy, when the guy has a chance to win 2 weeks in a row, he deserves to be in there, even though he doesn't have a win yet. But the win's coming. And Kyle Busch, strictly on the 3 wins, I kept him in at number 5. But it was hard to do. Now, who has Jamie's list?
I don't know.
I know that in the number, always start at the top, and yeah. We know that Jamie Kyle. His number one pick this week is the 10 car of Dan Kilpatrick. Obviously, I also on that list was Landon Castle, the 38 car, Casey Mears. Who am I missing? I'm trying to Matt
DiBenedetto.
He's in number 4 spot.
And Michael Annette.
Yes. So congratulations, Jamie. That's a great list. We look forward to you being back with us next week, and we look forward to having you back with us next week as we begin to talk about our first road course of the year.
It's a fun one.
It's one of my favorite tracks. Not enough road course. I'm still waiting for Road America in Wisconsin to be added to the list. Got some good racing going on this week at Iowa Speedway, a track which I think would be an excellent spot to host an all-star race sometime because of high banked. It's under a mile. It should be a lot of fun. Got the trucks Saturday night and Xfinity car Sunday afternoon.
And it'll be interesting to see if Daniel Suarez can back up his number one win of his career in Xfinity.
Yeah, an impressive win last week at Michigan. Yes. So way to do that. But that's going to do it for us. For Jason Hildebrand and Arnold Tarpley, I'm Scott Webb. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week here on The Finish Line, powered by Home Rank Mortgage on Talk 101.3
The Buzz.